is I would like us to give some scripture. Do we have the scriptures there in the slide? I think we lost some folks in the back there. Do we have a Psalm 100 in there? All right, we don't have Psalm 100 on the screen, but we have it in the chairs ahead of you. So underneath the chair or in the Bible that you brought or wherever instrument you use for your Bible, look at Psalm 100. Look at Psalm 100. Is that me making all that crackling noises? Oh yeah, this is really loose. Everybody found Psalm 100? Let's stand together. And let's read this psalm. I think the way it was meant to be read. So just have a brief look at it first before we do this. Just give it a quick look over. What do you see there? What's the first? Are you ready to shout, church? Maybe some of your translations make a joyful noise, is what it says. Well, either one's good. All right, so we're gonna work our way through this psalm. Let's read it out with strength. All right, are you ready? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Go ahead, read it out, whatever translation you have, doesn't matter. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness is to all generations. That was a whole hodgepodge of stuff going on there. But it still sounded good, did it not? Hey, you may be seated. So we don't have a slide for that, eh? Okay, no problem. If you wouldn't mind, because I would like to have that psalm on the screen behind me, if you can find it and throw it up there. Oh, you can. You found it. Oh, you have to type it up. Okay. All right. Well, Thanksgiving is an interesting thing. I've heard a few people on the internet and on TV wondering why we celebrate Thanksgiving. I've heard a few people trying to say, you know, we should just take the word Thanksgiving out and just call it Turkey Weekend. What do you think? A bunch of turkeys, hey? Gathered together to gobble. Come on, you guys. Are you with me? Yes. Well, I started thinking about, well, where does Thanksgiving come from in Canada? Because we're not Americans. So, well, some of us aren't. Some of us are Americans, but we're mostly Canadians in here. So why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, I actually did not know for sure, so I did some research. Here's what I found out. I found out that Thanksgiving was first celebrated actually before the American Thanksgiving, but don't tell them that. The first Europeans who landed in the territory of Nunavut in 1578. Woo! Talk about a cold Thanksgiving. They landed on the shores along some island in the Baffin Islands, and their leader, Sir Martin Frobisher, ordered that a meal of salted beef, biscuits, and mushy peas be given as they give thanks for their safe arrival to this new land. The captain and chaplain of the ship is said to have offered, this is in quotes, offered a communion, which we will take later, as you can see. We're going to have communion just like they did a few hundred years ago. And a godly sermon. Well, I hope you get a godly sermon. Exhorting the newcomers to this land to be especially thankful to God for their safe and miraculous deliverance in these dangerous waters. How about that? That's the Canadian heritage. I read a little further. It's actually quite interesting. Thanksgiving was first observed as an annual event in Canada on the 6th of November in 1879. And what would happen is each year, depending on the weather, the Parliament would set the date. Isn't that interesting? Our Parliament in Ottawa would set the date for Thanksgiving depending on how the weather was going. Sounds familiar. They kind of set things up as the weather blows. Just kidding. That was my attempt at political humor. And then I kept reading. They would proclaim an observance on the second Monday of October in January of 1957 to set that date as the day of general thanksgiving. But then here's what it actually says from the House of Commons, and I quote, "General thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed." Boy, we don't talk like that in Parliament anymore, do we? It's hard to imagine our Parliament even talking like that. And so began a tradition of pumpkin pie, butter tarts. If you're from Ontario, it's butter tarts. Pumpkin pie goes right across the country, by the way. Nanaimo bars, if you're in BC. Turkey, absolutely. And who here is from Newfoundland? Anybody here from Newfoundland? Yeah. Is there something called Jiffy? You don't know? Apparently, it's an Irish dish that only can be eaten on found to be eaten on Thanksgiving Day in Newfoundland. So they do something a little different there, and they're 30 minutes behind. All right. Boy, now we're kind of okay. Good. All right. Well, this morning my goal is to fuse two very important things together. We want to celebrate Thanksgiving, obviously, and we also want to keep within the sermon series that we're looking at as to how our church is structured. And we've been walking through the ministry values of our church. And this one in particular today is on service and helps. Service and helps is meant to be a ministry that provides for our needs, physically especially. Okay? And so we have people who are encouraged to use their gifts. And I don't know if you noticed throughout the summer, but when you drive by and you see the lawn is mowed, the flowers look all good, that's not me. I just want you to know for sure, especially the flower bits. That's good people who show up here in the week and they make the place look beautiful. I don't know if you noticed, but there is new paint all the way around the trim of this building. Did you notice? And did you notice the signs are gone? And they're touching those up and making them look fancy. Hey, they're just doing some service around the church. Did you know that there's a person in our church who comes in here most Mondays and cleans up all the paper and puts everything back to order? Did you know that? Every week. Isn't that great? There are other people, of course, who do service, and I can't list them all, but there are lots of people who help out. And we have a janitor who does this work for us, and, you know, we don't pay her a heap, but she comes and she serves the Lord, and she cleans up for us. So when we come to church and when we have meetings here, the place is clean. Isn't that good? It's awesome. It's an encouragement to us that we should use whatever God has given to us to serve and administer His grace to the people of God. So it doesn't get a lot of fanfare usually. You know, Harry stood up and said, we need some helpers. We need some people to billet some kids and to come into the kitchen on Tuesday night and help with that. That's not like fanfare trumpet stuff. That's just showing up and helping. And I think that's the heart of really what a church does, not only for the community, but for itself in the name of the Lord. We serve the King, and so we do that for each other as well. We start here. This is service and helps. But Thanksgiving, thankfully, actually, is easy enough to bridge. You can bridge Thanksgiving and service quite easily. And as we look into that psalm, which we're going to look at in just a moment, it is helpful to remind ourselves that it does say, make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord, all the earth. Serve, and that word serve can also be translated worship. Serve and worship. Maybe some of your translations said worship. Some of them said serve, and they're both right. Isn't that interesting? That service is actually an act of worship, and worship includes service. And so when we talk about thanksgiving and praising and worshiping God, we actually are doing a service. Not because He needs us to say that to Him, but we are serving Him and glorifying Him, which benefits us. And that's where we're going in this psalm. The problem is, excuse me, reaching puberty here. The problem is that life is really hard. Life is difficult. Life has pain in it, right? Hello? Life has suffering in it. Life has sorrow in it. Life has abuse in it, hatred in it, violence in it. And, I mean, we could go on and on. Right? That's the world we live in. But another problem is not just the world around us. It's the inner world that we carry around with us. How we treat people. How we speak about people. Have we lied? Have we done something wrong? Have we been proud? Have we been arrogant? Have we stolen? Have we cursed? Something within us is ashamed of ourselves for something we've done. Or maybe we're full of fear and not faith. And so we find ourselves in this condition where not only is it miserable out there, but we find that it's miserable in here too. And so when we read a psalm like this, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord," we say, "Puh! Who wants to do that? Why would I ever do that? I'd be faking it if I did that." Right? Hello? And so we think, rather, should we just have a plastic face that we put on and be happy? Is that what we're called to do? All right, be happy, everybody. Have you ever been commanded to be happy? You actually have. It's right here in the psalm. It tells you to be happy. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. It's not a suggestion. It's actually a command. Well, how do I reconcile that? How do I reconcile feeling like crap, excuse the expression, and everything around me is falling apart and I'm falling apart? How do I reconcile what it says right there that I'm commanded to serve the Lord or worship the Lord with gladness when I do not feel like it? Hello? Anybody been there? How about coming to church this morning? Anybody kind of go, it's kind of miserable and cool out there. I think I'll stay home. Well, maybe there's a few empty spots here because that happened. Or maybe you're sitting in the pew this morning thinking, I would have rather stayed home in bed than come here. What do you think? So is the expectation that you should come here and pretend that you're happy? You think that's what God wants? Does he want you to pretend, Harry? You're not very good at pretending, are you? Nah, picked on the wrong guy there. Is that what he wants? What do you think? Come on, church, tell me. Well, if he's commanding us to be glad, what are the options here? Either I do what he says, or I don't, right? But how do I get there? How do I get there? Some people think inside themselves that there's nothing to be thankful for. So why should I give thanks? But you know, I've been around long enough. 57 years I've been around. And I'm starting to realize that if I just stop, have a look at my life, and focus my mind on what really has happened and what really is going on, I actually have much to be thankful for. I just don't look there. You know what I look at? I would much rather look at my wife and blame her for my being grumpy. Which never happens in our household. Right? I would rather blame somebody else for my unhappiness. Hello? Am I alone? Is this a startling revelation to you? I would much rather blame everybody and everything else because I'm unhappy. But that's not what we're taught here. Something is in this that helps us. And if I focus my attention on what actually I do have that God has given me. Remember this old hymn? I haven't heard it sung forever. Count your blessings. You know that one? Anybody here? name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. But you know, the problem is we don't stop and count. We carry on focusing on what we don't like and what makes us miserable and what we want rather than what we have and what we expect rather than putting up with whatever it is we don't have and expect to have. Hello? And if anybody just happens to cross us that day, look out, the blast of winter that comes out of my mouth. Right? Icy chill settles into the room. And if I'm going to be miserable, everybody around me is going to be miserable too. And I'll see to it. What do you think? Do we have a cure for that? Well, thank God we do. And his name is Jesus Christ. And I mean, he's not mentioned in this psalm specifically. But the whole psalm is geared towards a person who has an intimacy with God. And you can only have that through Jesus Christ. He makes the change. But what's the change that we have in our hearts? What's going on? Well, let's have a look at the psalm this morning. It might surprise you if you look at that psalm. Do we have it up there? Good. Shout for the joy, for joy to the Lord. All the earth, serve or worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with joyful songs or with singing. That is a command, and there are several joyful actions that are commanded. The first one is to make a noise, or a joyful noise, or in some cases like this says, what? Shout. Now, what does shouting do? Has anything ever gone wrong, and you just kind of went, "Oh!" No? Nobody? Nobody's ever done that? No. Yeah, I have a confession to make. When I was a young boy, 10 years old, my mom and dad would say things and do things to me that made me mad. Has your mom and dad ever done that for you too? And we had this long walk that went towards a row of granaries. And I would walk down that road and I would yell at the top of the lung every curse word I knew. It was a long walk. It was a short walk. I would just yell them out. Now, I'm sure my parents must have. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. But they must have heard me because I was just shouting them. I was so frustrated. So I know we can shout. Hey, I've been to a hockey game. I know Canadians can shout. Hello. Hey, Alex, what do you think? Yeah? What was that? What happened to the Flames last night? A sad day, hey? No shouting at the TV was happening. The Oilers are doing good though, hey, Josh? Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Josh, yeah. Not really, yeah. I know we can shout. I've shouted lots. I've been in attendance at some games where the shouting was eardrum bursting. I also went to church once, and the shouting was like that. I went to a church in Seoul, Korea, one of the biggest churches in the world, big round building. There was 10,000 plus people in this auditorium, and they sat us way at the top because that's where all the languages interpretation. So you get an ear set and you plug it in, you can hear what's going on. And the pastor stood up and he said, "Good morning." Everybody said, "Good morning." And he said, "Now I want us to stand up and I want us to shout our praises to God." And I was like unprepared for this. Because everyone rose to their feet and there was a mighty shout that went up to God. All the hairs, every one of them, not just the back of my neck, all of them, everywhere, stood up. I was shocked. And this was not just a one-time shout. They kept shouting. Which seemed like maybe 5 minutes, maybe it was less, I don't know. I just remember feeling like I was getting caught up in it. There's something about it, hey? We want to shout together. We don't want to shout by ourselves like I was. That's boring. It's far more encouraging to shout together, to make a joyful noise together to the Lord. To the Lord our God. If there was ever any being in this universe worth shouting about, it's Him. Would you agree? Well, so that's what we're encouraged to do. That's an action that we are to take. We are actually supposed to shout to the Lord. Now, I think the closest we get to is kind of when the music gets loud. And we all have to sing a little louder to kind of keep up. Are you with me? So we get that close to shouting, but we actually don't quite shout. So you're thinking, oh, he's going to get us to stand and shout, isn't he? No, I'm not going to do that today. It's interesting that the writer of the psalm, he starts out by saying, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And in verse 1, he says, all the earth. Right? He says, all the earth. This is one of those moments when you don't want to just have the shout inside of four walls. This shout is a shout from all the earth. He is too amazing to just shout in this little room. It actually takes every voice in the earth to shout this praise. That's how glorious He is. And that's what the psalmist wants us to open up our heads towards and our hearts towards. He is a massive God. We are to serve Him with gladness. Serving Him with gladness is one of those things that is hard to get your head around, but actually once you start doing it, you start realizing that gladness does come to your heart. It's not uncommon for me to hear people who are doing what they love to either be humming or singing or whistling. Hello? If you're really doing something that you enjoy, you can't just not sit there silently. Well, some people can, but mostly, You tend to have a laugh, or you're loud, or you whistle, or something, because you're enjoying yourself. And that's actually healthy. It's good, because you're doing something. And if you serve the Lord, there is a gladness that can overwhelm you. There's a happiness that comes from serving a happy God. Those words are from Spurgeon, who was a great preacher in England a century or so ago. He's quoted as writing, "Our happy God should be worshipped by a very happy people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with His nature, His acts, and the gratitude which we should cherish for His mercies." The gratitude that we should cherish for His mercies. We are to come before Him. We are to worship and serve Him. We are to sing joyful songs. And we had a couple of joyful songs up front today, and then we kind of finished off with more mellowy stuff. But even if you just look at the words of the mellow stuff we sang about His love, hey, what's not to make your heart glad? You are not alone in this universe. You're not alone. He is here. He is with us, and we can sing to Him our praises joyfully. But I still hear people say, well, I suppose if I have to sing with some happiness, I guess I could do that. You know, pastor says so. That's not what we're after here. Something needs to transform your heart. Look at the next verse. Read the next verse out to me. Oh, it's not in verses. It says, know something. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We are to know something. And that word know is not just have it in your head. It actually means that you are acquainted with, you are ready to experience or have experienced this knowledge that the Lord is our God. And it is He who made us, not only created us, but He makes us who we are. He puts in us gifts and skills and talents that are unique. I am placed on this earth uniquely by my Father in heaven, and only I can be me. Nobody else can. To the glory of God. Oh, folks, that sets you free when you start to believe this stuff. When He is your God, and you know that He made you exactly how you are, exactly how, you know, all the warts, all the foibles, all the crazy stuff, all the good stuff, all the amazing stuff. You know, this is beautiful up here, this arrangement. Hey, isn't it nice? Natalie and some team of people. Natalie here. And so, did anybody help you? All by yourself. Look at you. In here just. The Holy Spirit. Yes, He is with us. Even when we're in here putting up a display, just to bless our eyes. Hey, doesn't that look good? Beautiful. And that out in the foyer as well. Beautiful. But you know, we need to know that He is our God, that He made us as we are. Not just the rights of creator, but intimately knows how we're created, beautifully created. That we should use our gifts, our skills, our talents to bless Him. That's what they're for. And so as we come to the passage, we're meant to know this. We're meant to have it not only in our heads, but understand it and embrace it and live it out. He owns me. I am not my own owner. We do not ultimately own ourselves. Whenever anybody talks about being a self-made man, it's a load of garbage. There is no one on this earth who is self-made. Not one single person. They've all been created. And who you are, God has given you what you need to make you who you are. Amen. We know this, that He is also our shepherd. We are the sheep of His pasture. That talks about care. He intimately cares about you and the troubles and turmoils, the happiness, the sadness, the gladness, the sorrow. He knows it all intimately. We know this because Jesus came to this earth. And what does the scripture say about Him? That He suffered in all ways as we do, yet without sin. Hey, and He learned obedience from the things He suffered, as we suffer. We are not alone even in that regard. Our God has famously come to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, who became a man, who became flesh, took it on, and became obedient to the Father, even death on the cross. But one day, of course, we know what? That He'll be exalted. The Father's going to give Him a name which is above every name, and every tongue and every knee, not some, not just the guys who go to church, every knee, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what's going to happen. That's what's coming, folks. And so we can actually have a picked up spirit. We can start to feel differently because of this truth, no matter what we're going through. When we focus on what we know of God, that He is the Lord God, He is the Creator, He owns me, not the other way around, and He is my shepherd. He cares about me. He cares. And when I believe this, I start to feel something different. I start to be able to do what? Shout to the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Joyful songs. This is good. So what is demanded of us comes from what we know. You can't fake what you don't know. If you don't know it, you don't know it.
But if you know it, if you know he's your God, if you know he cares about you, if you know that you are not your own, that you are his, and he cares about you, if you know that, then you too can be glad. And you too can shout for joy.
Well, the psalmist was so enthused by all of this, he thought, you know what, I wonder if everybody missed it in the first round. So he does the same thing again, only he changes up the words slightly. So in verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Give thanks to him and bless his name. So, a command again. Enter his gates. Now, obviously, we can't enter his gates because that's talking about the temple. We're no longer in Jerusalem now. Those folks understood that to mean just go to the temple. We don't go there. What do we do? Where are our gates? What is our court? Is it talking about a church building? Come on, be careful. Is that what it's talking about? Remember what the New Testament says about temples. What did Jesus say about his temple? It was his body. And we are taught in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, that our temples, we are temples of the living God. We actually are places that house worship. So when we come into his courts with praise, we come into the temple. We focus our minds and our hearts on him. And we come with thanksgiving and blessing. Now again, what if I don't feel like doing that? What if everything around me is just topsy-turvy and the seas are raging and my husband or my wife is angry at me, my kids hate my guts, my boss doesn't like me, gives me all the dirty jobs, I'm in danger of losing my job, my health's been affected, I'm no longer healthy. What if that all comes piling on you? Hey, what if that happens? How do I keep myself afloat the way the scriptures are commanding me to? Well, just like the first passage, it rests on the verse following. What does the verse following say? For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation. Something to know again. Something to know about God. This is a powerful truth. When we come into his presence, it says in Hebrews chapter 10 that we have access to the throne of God, to the most holy place, because of the shed blood of Jesus. That we can approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and grace in time of need. We can do that anywhere, anytime, any place. And you know what? God is good. He'll listen to you. He'll listen to you. He's good, and he'll love on you. He'll love you. He's already shown his love to you. You don't need no more demonstrations. You just remind yourself of how much he loves you. Look at how he treated his own son on your behalf. Hey? He loved you enough to sacrifice for you. If you remind yourself of these things, it won't be long that even though you're in the midst of the storm, you'll be calm. And you will be able to have a voice of thanksgiving. Why? Because we don't serve an evil God. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. And he is good all the time. All the time. There's never a second, split second, when he is not good. And he cares. He's our shepherd. And he is the Lord our God. And he made us. And we are his people. And we are the sheep of his pasture. And he comes to us and meets us when we call out to him. He greets us. He shows his steadfast love, which endures forever. It's not flimsy love that can be hot one day and cold the next. You never know which God you're praying to today. Is he going to love me or kind of, you know, throw a lightning bolt?
No, he is always the same. He is always the same forever. And he is faithful. Even it says in the scripture, when I am unfaithful. Who's been unfaithful here? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. Because the fact of the matter is we all experience times of unfaithfulness. But even when that happens, he is faithful for how long? Always, forever, forever. Now, when you start to put that into your heart and mind, something begins to change. What? You now have a voice ready to give thanks. You have a heart that is ready and prompted to bless his name and to praise him and to give thanks to him, for he is good. A heart of gratitude. And so when we serve and worship him out of gladness, not because he's a miserable wench and wants me to do something I don't want to do. No, it's because he loves us and he's good to us. And he wants us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's what he wants us to be. But we can't get there unless we stop and know these things, so that we can be thankful and give thanks and be gracious and be full of blessing for whoever we meet. Not just for him, but for all. Our language, full of blessing. Can you imagine being around somebody that just every time they open their mouth, all you got was a blessing? I'm signing up to join that person in a friendship. What do you think? Hey, we all want to be around that, don't we? Well, that's what we're called to be like, to bless each other and not curse. We have a team of people. Wayne, who's not here with his daughter in Grand Prairie. Florel, he's here. I saw him this morning. Dave, he's not here. He's with his kids. Les, not here with his kids. But you know, those guys have been here often over the last couple weeks, working hard just to serve us and to serve the King. And yeah, they got into some good conversations, I bet. Hey, Floral, get some good conversation in there. Hey, some helpful stuff, encouragements. Because we're together, serving the Lord. Good things. We had somebody come into the church this week, and they brought in two turkeys and a big box full of groceries for two families. And they said, we got somebody in mind, but there's enough here for another family if you can think of anybody. So I prayed. And those families got turkey, potatoes, onions, peppers, carrots. They got a feast. Now, I have to say, this was spoken out loud at some point in the day. And somebody who was in the church said, I'll take it over there. And so they got to take all that stuff, knock on the door. Surprise! Here's a turkey and a whole bunch of fixings for you. Isn't that great? This is beautiful. This is serving the Lord with gladness. Was it a hardship for them to do that? I can't know what was in their heart, but they sure volunteered quick. Do you think it was terrible when they stood at the door and the people who opened the door said, oh, no, no. We're okay. We don't really need that. Sorry, it's yours. Which is how most Canadians respond, right? When you give them something, it's okay. It's all right. You know, give it to somebody else that needs it more than me. But the fact is, the Lord wanted to bless that family. Isn't that great? That's serving the Lord with gladness. This is who we are called to be. Not just serving us as a fellowship. I think we start here. And if you don't have a ministry that you're serving in, maybe your time is, you know, scarce, find something that you can do. Find something. You will find the joy of the Lord in serving him because you know he's great. And it's great to serve a great boss. Isn't it? Some of you don't know what that's like. I can tell. It's pretty quiet in here.
Paul, do you serve? No, I'm just kidding. Paul works for his dad, just in case you didn't know. And his dad is sitting right there. It's good to serve a good boss. Well, when we look at this passage and we take these things to heart, we see that God does not expect us to be fake. He isn't forgetting that the world is tough. He's giving us an option. He's saying, yeah, I know the world is tough. I know it's a miserable place. Therefore, I'm going to put a psalm called Psalm 100, and I'm going to give it to you so that your heart and mind can find rest in me, and your voice and your hands and your feet can find joy in serving me, even though the rest of the world may be miserable around you. Amen? That's what this psalm is about. We're going to have a time around the communion table, so I want you to prepare your hearts for that. And, you know, Jesus, he stood with his good friends around him, and he interrupted the meal. And he said along these lines, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this, take and eat this in remembrance of me." Who is that telling us to focus our attention on? Who? Him. Yeah, your life might be tough. It might be really hard, but take a moment. Let your heart, let your mind focus on him. Remember me, is what he said. And in doing that, you will begin to experience what the psalmist writes here. You'll begin to see, oh, he is good to me. My sins, they're forgiven. By his wounds, we are healed. I come alive when he enters me by his spirit. I have much to be thankful for. And then he goes on and he gives thanks and he goes on and he breaks that bread. And then he goes on to say, listen, in this cup, this last cup in the meal, it's full of wine, it's full of my blood, which is shed for you. It's the blood of a new covenant, a new way of relating to God. Whenever you drink this, drink it in remembrance of me. So that whenever you eat and whenever you drink this, you remember him. And when you do that, you begin to realize that without the shedding of Jesus' blood, you'd have no forgiveness for your sins. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on now. Ah, I got one good shouter in the room. I need a few more. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins cannot be forgiven. So your sins are forgiven when you believe. Amen? Come on now. Amen. Are your eyes starting to feel better? Maybe you came in a little sad and disturbed. Are you feeling better now? Are you thinking about Jesus right now? Are you? Is your mind going there? We're about to have communion, about to have that cup, about to have that piece of bread, about to remember what he's done. Are you doing better? As you put your mind in this kind of frame, you will begin to see that you can shout to the Lord. You can serve and worship him with gladness. You can come into his presence with singing and not be pretending. Hallelujah! Because he is a good God. He is a righteous God. He will never do anything wrong. He'll never hurt you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will never, ever break his covenant of love towards you. Never. He will love on you. Come on now. Come on, are you with me? So when we take communion today and we stop and we focus on Jesus, let his presence begin to fill your heart with joy and thankfulness and gratefulness and blessing and honor and glory to him. Hallelujah. Woo! You see, that is a practice that you can do outside these four walls. You can do it every day. You can do it in a moment. Everything's going wrong in a moment. Stop. No.
that He is my God. Know that He created me the way I am. Know that He loves me and cares for me as a good shepherd. Know that we are His people. He owns me. I'm going to start to praise Him regardless of what's going on. I'm going to focus on Him as we do at communion. Do this in remembrance of me, He says. Me. I'm going to ask our elders to come up and join me. Pastor Alex, come and join me too. I think we have enough.